We return now to our topic of sensors and sensor technology. But rather than sensing in natural systems, such as the soil or the atmosphere, we're going to explore the technology needed to see inside a very man-made environment, a jet engine. Rolls-Royce engines are regularly inspected to keep them in tip-top condition and running efficiently. The job of getting inside to check them over falls to the on-wing capability team. I met James Kell, who develops the tools, and manager Graham Rigg.
Our key challenge really inside an aero engine is the fact that generally the access ports to get inside are very small, sub 9.4 millimetres. The routes through blades and vanes are quite torturous sometimes if you want to view something that's non-routine. Also, the engine runs at very, very high temperatures, so we've got quite a hostile environment as well. So if we wanted to leave something in there permanently to monitor, that's always going to be difficult. So we try and inspect the engine when it's on the ground and when it's cooled down.
Why do we need to avoid just taking the engine off, opening it up, stripping it down, checking it all out and then putting it back on?
One of the key things we're here for is to keep the engine on wing as long as possible. It's very costly to remove an engine from wing. It's very disruptive to the customer. One of the key things is that, an aircraft has a schedule. It might have 300 people waiting to fly out somewhere. And if it's stuck on the ground, then that's obviously quite serious and quite disruptive. So, you know, we want that engine in perfect condition so that it can take off on schedule, you know, at the right time and keep the customer happy.
So how does this on-wing testing using these tiny access ports, how does that fit in with the general life of an engine?
There is always scheduled maintenance of engines, so they're removed periodically and put through the overhaul facilities where they're stripped down to detail part and completely refurbished. The bit that we're interested in is whilst they're on the wing in between those periods, so that we can make sure that the engine is in its optimum operating condition and that we don't cause any delays and that we can actually see inside the engine and monitor the condition of it.
What are the sorts of things that we actually need to monitor inside an engine?
Generally, we're looking at the rotating components, so that'll be the compressor blades and the turbine blades, and we can inspect those using our boroscope equipment.
It sounds like you actually have a lot in common with surgery, and in particular keyhole surgery, where you need to do very delicate procedures through tiny access holes. Can you share some of the technology?
A lot of the technology we use is developed from surgery, from the medical industry, and a lot of the companies we use predominantly are medically based. We use boroscope equipment or intrascope, so we can actually see through a camera inside the engine and see components that are rotating components to make sure that they perform as they should. At other times, we have to go in and we have to clean things. We look inside oil systems sometimes to make sure there's no carbon. There's the routine areas, which are the gas stream, which is turbine and compressor blades. And then there's the non-routine things, which is where it becomes more surgical and more difficult because the routes in are always very difficult. And we sometimes have to go in through pipes and other components.
With surgery, of course, we can make an incision where we need to in order to go in and access things. With an engine, I guess, once it's built and once those access ports have been put in, then you have no choice but to use those. Does this get thought about in the initial design? Are you pushing to make sure that you'll have the access you need?
Yeah, we sit in the design meetings and we specify that we would like access to both sides of each turbine and compressor blade. Now, sometimes, due to the complexity of the design, that's not always possible, and that's where we have to develop specialist techniques to get into more difficult areas. We do feed into design and we are having more influence as we have more techniques and people can see the importance of what we do.
Beyond the technology borrowed from surgery and dentistry, what have you had to develop in order to meet your challenges?
I think sometimes it's the means of getting there. So we have the vision systems, but sometimes it's actually getting something into the area that we need to get to. So it's often using specially made guide tubes and bespoke equipment to actually help drive the equipment to where it needs to go.
So when there isn't a tool that already exists, you're forced to develop a new one and actually build something that fits the situation.
Yeah, and I think that's the beauty of the job, really, that we're given the problem. We'll go to a training engine and we look at the access. We work out how we're going to do it. We make prototype tooling, obviously see if it works in the engine. If it does, then we train teams up to go out and deliver the service.
James, your job is more on the R&D side of this, actually developing the new tools. What sorts of challenges do you face?
It's similar to Graham in the fact that we've still got the same environment that we're looking at, but it's my job really to monitor the technology that's out there to start with. If we've already got something that's almost developed and it's not quite to our needs, we can maybe modify it so that we can use it in the same environment. So that means I'm looking at things like medical conferences and sort of journals for that kind of thing, and also robotics and conferences and journals and that as well.
It seems like you have the full range of the world of science and engineering to pick from in order to find the right tool.
Yeah, the idea in a way is to try and, I guess maybe in 50 years, the idea would be you'd be able to miniaturise the whole of the maintenance overhaul facility and be able to do all of those things whilst the engine is still intact. Obviously that's quite a way ahead, and there's always going to be some things that we can't do whilst the engine's still in one piece. But I think the idea is really to look at the things that are out there and develop those things so that they can be used. So there's all sorts of things that we are trying to use, and laser technology is one of those areas that we're investigating quite heavily, and also robotic equipment. So the idea is to try and brush your teeth when you're in the upstairs bathroom if you're stood at the letterbox outside.
So how does the process work? Graham would say to you, I need to find a way of getting to this particular component. How do you then step into action?
Yeah, there's kind of two different ways I might get involved. There's what we'd call me thinking of a blue sky wacky idea, floating it past Graham and seeing whether he thinks it's got merit. He's shaking his head at me. The other option, I suppose, is for some problem that we know is coming down the line, for example, in an engine that's being built at the moment but not necessarily in service, where we've got the luxury of perhaps a year or two to actually develop a technique. A good way of thinking of it is we've got a push of technology where I think of a blue sky idea, or we've got a technology pull where people like Graham know there's a problem out in the world and we've got to try and think of a way of solving it.
So in the future, what would you hope to see to make your life easier, to make these developmental tricks easier?
The ultimate thing for us would be an engine that you could take apart and still not have to worry about going in through a very small hole, which is around 9 millimetres. You could maybe lift off a panel and expose a whole array of different components. That's a significant design challenge and probably not one that we're going to entertain anytime soon.
And Graham, what do you see as being the tools of the future that you would really like to see developed?
I think James alluded to this already in terms of laser-type technology, miniaturised robotics. I think they're the two key areas that we're looking to sort of invest in and develop.
Graham Rigg, and before him, James Kell, both from the on-wing capability team at Rolls-Royce.